Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
Game of Thrones. The Walking Dead. Westworld. No, that's the West Wing. Westworld. There we go. There have been many podcasts which seek to analyse the complexities, the depth, the plot lines, the hidden story arcs, the beauty of these productions. Quite simply, the world doesn't need another one, which is why we're applying that level of discussion to the bottom of the televisual barrel and scraping it with a weekly celebration of The One Show.
Hello, it's the One Show show, the podcast that treats BBC One's trite magazine programme as if it were Avengers Endgame or something, as we do battle against the forces of Thanos. But if Thanos, rather than a mutant member of a race of supervillains hell-bent on wiping out 50% of life in the universe with an infinity gauntlet, instead Thanos was a regional TV presenter churning out five-minute films about food banks. I am John Holmes, and we're here again and once again guiding you through a week's worth of a programme you have little or no interest in. A programme in which this week Max Beasley's dad is weird. Matt and Alex are confused by Jason Isaacs' octopus and a 22-foot giant baby. Joining me to stick chewing gum to the back of the One Show's jumper this week is the other half of the writing duo behind Screen Wipe, Philomena Kunk, the Ladybird Books for Adults, and the other co-host of the Rule of Three podcast. It's Joel Morris, and also comedian Magic DJ, sure, and frontman of that advert that's on TV at the moment. Second appearance on this podcast, it's Tom Price.
Welcome. Shop at Lidl, everyone. Shop at Lidl. Stay strong.
Welcome, everyone. Well, you've been on before.
Yeah. So it's not my first time doing this. No. I hate you so much. I know. I've had to watch this crap all week.
I know. But okay, you kind of liked it. You kept texting me saying how fun it was.
I did one of the first couple of these with Chris Heath, I think I was on with. It was really good fun.
Oh, yes.
And this is, you've changed The One Show.
Yes, I completely agree. Yeah. Yes, because I have had a big gap as well, and the show has changed. It's got more of a gang show vibe to it. Yeah. There's clappy clap, clap, claps going on now. There's more of this kind of for the lols thing happening.
It's harder to find handbrake turns.
Yeah, they're not doing those as much.
They're still there.
They're still there, but they're certainly not as obvious as they were, and they certainly try a little bit harder. Lots of things have changed. You're absolutely right. Now, whether that is our influence, because we know
I'm
they
saying
listen.
100%.
Yeah. They know you're out there, right, though, don't they? They know this is happening. Has this podcast been mentioned yet on The One Show?
No, it's been mentioned in an interview in the Radio Times with Alex Jones.
Come on.
But it's not, but it's not mentioned on the actual program. Even when they were talking about Game of Thrones fan podcast and podcast about TV programmes.
They didn't mention
they
it then.
Skirted, oh. They skirted, no one mentioned it at all. I imagine Matt refused. Just
will,
said that.
I will
is,
not have that. No.
No. Absolutely not.
They're shagged.
No. I tell you what's happened to Matt Baker, though. The buttons on his shirt have gone lower and lower.
Yeah.
Last time I watched it,
very
he was
open. Very open.
Yeah. He's now getting to the sort of sex-starved stage of his marriage, I'd imagine.
When are we going to see the medallion? That is halfway down.
He's got a little Hoff, little Hasselhoff medallion.
So, well, let's start with Monday, because that seems reasonable.
Easter.
Now, this was Easter Monday. Yeah. So it opened with a lovely Happy Easter from the people of Stockport.
Happy Easter!
Oh, what a lovely start. What a lovely
lovely start. Hello, everybody, and welcome to your Easter Monday One Show with Alex Jones.
And Matt Baker. Now, we hope you're enjoying one of the sunniest Easter weekends in years. Yeah.
Some bikers in Stockport screeching Happy Easter to an overhead camera before cutting to the studio. What do we make of the Easter Monday special?
I like the obsession with melted chocolate. Yep. They were obsessed by what happens on a hot Easter. And I won't do a spoiler because it's going to build towards an amazing thing. I liked that. Actually, the best thing about this one was Jason Isaacs was on it as the guest. Yeah. And he was a brilliant one-show guest, I think.
Yeah.
He seemed to understand the tone of the one-show exactly. Mm. And it was almost like he was presenting it.
Yeah, you get that sometimes.
He's a co-host,
He was, but he's good in any interview situation. He's good value Isaacs, isn't he? He's good. I've interviewed Jason Isaacs, and he's just great at just being, you know, just falling into the vibe of whatever. He's acting.
It was genuinely, actually, something William Goldman said, that one of the things that actors can do is play the part of someone who's interested being asked these stupid questions.
Exactly.
And what he did brilliantly, which was slightly annoying, because my favourite thing about the one show is where someone doesn't fit it.
Yeah.
And I watched this one and went, oh no, he's a really good fit.
He slots perfectly.
It's not Madonna being asked about mortgages. It's not Salman Rushdie doing table tennis. But he's not got, I like it when someone like Anthony Head comes on and is asked about bluebells and they won't let him go. But Isaac's like being there.
Well, there was a spectacular moment, wasn't there, though, when right at the beginning. So they were just going on about Easter and how brilliant the weather had been.
Where have you been, Jason Isaacs? Where have you been for Easter?
Yeah, that's what it was. It's 25 degrees, 27 degrees on mine, says Alex.
And then what was the first topic of conversation he brought up?
Earth Day.
Climate change.
Yeah. That's right,
It was exquisite.
We've had lovely
weather.
I saw 25 on my thermometer.
27.
You do know it's Earth Day. 27?
Yeah.
So we're talking about these, you know, unseasonably hot days on the day when we should be thinking about, why is it hot?
But you could hear, I love hearing the brakes go on the one show. You can hear the sparks are flying from the machinery going, oh my God, we're talking about the weather. Yeah. And he's accidentally brought up climate, which is not the weather. Because the point about the one show is it is like inconsequential blather.
Exactly.
And if you accidentally bring up something that's important that you care about, unless it's just ambient charity, it's like little kiddies or something, it really risks derailing the whole show.
Well, the expressions on their faces, Matt and Alex, the change in tone was just quite awesome.
Yeah.
No, it was just a note of gloom to the entire thing.
It's important to acknowledge
it up, Jason,
Earth Day.
Why is it hot this early in the year?
Yeah, well.
They were reflecting the noises coming into their ears from the control booth.
Exactly.
Where they were going, Jesus Christ!
Yeah. He's derailing the show.
And also, everyone agrees the weather's been nice, but not everyone agrees that climate change exists.
No.
They could hear half the audience throwing things around, bloody BBC lefties, actors, because they keep on inviting actors on, and actors are a bit liberal.
Yeah.
They're really worried about it. And the oddest thing was they also, I think, knew that the next package they got, they're going to have to throw from the Earth Day, was some people doing a good turn on motorbikes.
Diesel.
Yeah.
Using disposable plastic and packaging in Easter eggs. Yeah. And literally it cut to environmental apocalypse in Stockport.
But even before it got to that, the way he kind of derailed the whole opening, because they were talking about, you know, the weather and the temperature and how wonderful it all was.
They literally talked about the weather.
And he when he went to Seville, did you notice what he did in Seville? Did you hear that?
With his daughter, the weather wasn't very nice.
Yeah. Well, right? No, he said the weather was beautiful. He said it was fantastic. But we stayed in the hotel and watched Netflix.
We went to Seville, which was 85 degrees or something.
Nice.
We had a lovely time. We stayed in the room, watched a lot of Netflix.
Yeah. Oh, Netflix
was too hot. Because it was too hot.
Yeah, but the Netflix clang, because he's so on the Netflix buck. Yeah. He's like, Netflix is like big oil to him.
He is
there to make sure we know Netflix exists. So when the climate change apocalypse comes, get indoors, get your aircon on and watch Netflix. That is the Jason Isaacs message.
But then he said it's Earth Day, and then their tone, you know, changed and just went, oh, well, you know, you've got to worry about that. So you've got to think about the climate and the thing. That's very important. Anyway, send us your snaps of what you've been doing in the sunshine. And it was like, it just came right where it shouldn't. They had to get back from one thing to the other and back to the other. And then it was bikers in Stockport.
Beards, beer, bikes and body art. You might think you know all there is to know about bikers, but you'd be wrong. This lot are gathering at this Stockport pub, pumped and ready for their latest road trip. They may look like hellraisers, but these bikers are about to embark on an angelic mission.
It went to the bikers in Stockport, and the bikers in Stockport package was really, like, heartwarming. They were doing things for underprivileged kids, but it was impossible to watch it without going, yeah, that's a lot of petrol.
Yeah.
It's a lot of packaging.
Yeah.
You probably could have done that without burning up the rubber. And it was like all climate stuff, climate and the reality of that spoils everything.
It ruins the world, doesn't it?
But it ruins one show package.
Why can't the bikers get on a bus, on an electric bus? Or get on a
walk.
Horse. Here we go. Got some bikers. We're going to put them on a horse and they're going to go around Stockport.
But it was
giving organic eggs.
Yeah, exactly.
From chickens.
Actual eggs.
To kids.
It does, you know, the thing that happens on social media where you do something nice, like you save a bird's nest, and someone immediately goes, you shouldn't save bird's nests. Mm. There's a little voice in your head that is the Twitter backlash that happens now with everything. Yes. And so it came on and I went, oh, I shouldn't be doing that. And I thought, oh, God, I've become... But I had that
You've become Jason Isaacs.
I had that seed put in me by Jason Isaacs quite innocently going, yeah, but the climate's warming up, we're in trouble. And I went, no, you've ruined everything.
Well, that's it. I wanted Isaacs off the back of the biker film to just go, well, exhausts, and also child obesity. You're feeding chocolate to hundreds of eggs to these kids.
I know. Have the sugar, kids. Have all of the sugar. It's terrible.
Right, guys, I need your help.
Today, they'll be delivering around 1,500 Easter eggs to some of the Northwest's most vulnerable children. Organiser Andy Ruffley has persuaded over 500 Easy Riders to swap helmet hair for bunny ears.
Nice.
You could see what they were trying to do. These bikers who, they bizarrely... and Thomas, who was presenting it, still believes that bikers are like Marlon Brando in The Wild One. We all worry when they roll into town firing guns in the air. No one thinks that because everyone's got a mate on a motorbike who's
them to be like that. Yeah. I want every biker to be like Sons of Anarchy. Yeah. That's what I want.
Yeah. They did look deadly. They look very dangerous.
But it's brilliant. I'm sorry. But it's brilliant. But they do it and they go, and you wouldn't believe they really like kiddies. And you go, honestly, psychopaths like kiddies. They prisoners, really tough prisoners. Bronson would go,
kiddies.
But we're in it for the kiddies. And you go, no, find a charity that you wouldn't expect absolute thugs to be in favour of. All thugs are in favour of deprived kids. That's no surprise.
Did you see the handbrake turn that off the back of this? This was quite nice. There was a handbrake turn.
Go on.
This was when Jason Isaacs, still on the sofa, off the back of the children.
Charities.
They said
you saw the look on a lot of children's faces there with all the Easter eggs. But is it right that you actually used to do a bit of children's entertainment?
I did.
Oh, yes.
Did you notice as well, the thing they've added in, which they hadn't had before, was the on-screen captions, where it does...
It introduces the films.
It's very confusing, because sometimes it's the name of the presenter and sometimes it's a location. So sometimes you think it's been presented by Stockport. Yeah. I couldn't quite work out. They don't have a room.
Where's Ewan Thomas? I've never been there.
When they started doing this, what they do is they give a little... they come up with a pithy title for the film.
Like Frasier.
Yeah, exactly. Pithy title for the sequence. And then they would put up the presenter's name, but the shot was never of the presenter. So it would be over who the film was about. So if it was about a lollipop lady in, you know, Blackburn, it'd say something like, Matt Allwright. And you'd go, so we mentioned that. And then they changed it.
Oh,
they changed it. They've never done that since.
Well, can we fix one more thing, which is that if you've got a thing that's leading towards the only pun you can do, which was good eggs, in this case, which was the big sign-off, don't have that as the title of the piece at the beginning, where it went, good eggs. And at the end of it, you and Thomas very happily went, but you could say a bunch of very good eggs. We've done that.
You
spunked it early.
There was another example of the team, Man Alex, doing no research. They never watch the programmes that the people are on to talk about. This has become a running thing, particularly Matt, who is very lazy.
Can I just say, I interviewed Jason Isaacs about the OA about 2 months ago, and I couldn't watch that fucking shit. It's absolutely mind-bogglingly mental. I'm already of a mentally fragile disposition, but to sit myself in front of that show, which is the most meta... like tangential crazy thing going on.
I mean, I've never seen it either.
It's very good if you like that kind of thing, but you're basically tripping when you watch it.
Yeah.
So to see them having to struggle through that as well, and you know, Jason Isaacs knows that people don't watch it.
Did you enjoy as well that he was doing Lolly Adefoppi's presenter from this time with Alan Partridge?
Absolutely.
That
just
whenever disagreeing. she said, it's about a young girl. No, it's not. Christopher Lee, you're impossible to interview.
He was horrible, wasn't he? Not right. No,
not wrong. You're wrong. You're wrong. It was awful.
So the first series, we're going to do a summer. Okay, so young girl.
Wrong. Go on.
So she's a blind girl, disappears, comes back, new name, new eyes, can
see. How old is she, Alex?
I don't know.
She's in her 20s.
She's in her 20s. That's young.
Yes, that's true.
Compared to us, that's young. And she comes back, and then she can kind of jump through time and space.
No, wrong.
But then Alex sort of stopped him doing that and just said, well, let's not talk about it anymore. We've got a clip. And he just went, no point.
Oh, go on.
We're going to do, okay, because people are like, what? Yeah. So we're going to do a clip and then see how intrigued everybody
feels. You won't have a clue what's going on.
Okay, well, we'll try it.
That's what he said. No point. It'll mean nothing. But they did find quite a good clip. They found a clip where... What was it?
It was a counterfactual thing where she was in a universe that didn't have Barack Obama.
Oh, that's right.
Which is a good idea. I mean, it's full of lovely batshit ideas like that.
But it's very good, but I couldn't bring myself to watch it for a... You know, I had 8 minutes with Jason Isaacs and I wasn't going to dedicate 9 hours of batshittery just to speak to him about that. But he kept coming back to the OA, didn't he?
He was
very on message.
And the Netflix. And his charities.
Yeah,
and his charities. The octopus that communicates telepathically confused them, didn't they? Because he just threw that in there.
Somewhere in the middle of the show, there is an octopus which thinks and right? Am I right? Oh, there's an octopus that communicates telepathically, a giant octopus.
They both just went...
Well, they've worked with Charles Brandreth. Surely they're familiar. That's a similar sort of thing, isn't it? He's got tentacles everywhere. Fingers in lots of pies.
Mm. Oh, can I also point out, by the way, before we move on from the bikers, by the way, that they weren't just damaging the environment by through their petrol and things like that. They were also, according to Ewan Thomas, burning some revs.
These guys are chomping at the bit, and I'll be burning some revs and joining the convoy too.
Oh, so they were over-revving.
I don't know what burning some revs, is it Vickers? I don't know, but the phrase burning some revs, and it wasn't something he said live, he'd done that in a pre-recorded voiceover and thought that was a phrase.
You know what they're going to do? They're going to get the Environment Secretary on to talk about it, Biker Gove.
Get out.
Should go I go on. Now?
Get
okay,
out.
Thanks, guys. Been really fun seeing you again. All the best.
Tom's gone. Right, so what was the most boring film this week, do you think, Joel?
God,
it's difficult, isn't it? Oh, Tom's back.
I think it was definitely on. Was it Tuesday? I think it was the Road Signs. It was Road Signs in Manchester.
Oh, with Chris Warburton. Chris Warburton is a brilliant radio presenter, but terrible on the one show.
It was amazing. It was about whether people could understand the sign that indicated a bus lane.
Morning rush hour in Manchester. But these motorists aren't just driving to work. Many of them are driving straight towards a £60 fine. Why? Because they are turning into a bus gate.
And what it was, this is a moment where I wrote this down early on. I think it was seeing Max Beasley and his dad. And I went, shit, I've suddenly worked out what the one show reminds me of. And it's being at a family wedding where people haven't got anything to talk about in common because they've all got very different lives.
Yeah.
And they're trying to find common ground. And it's not really, and there's a drunk uncle and no one really makes any sense. And there are people who are really into something and they want to talk about like cruel sports and you don't really want to. So you keep trying to change the subject back. And it felt like awkward family conversations. And when it got onto, what do you think about the signage in Manchester City Centre? Oh, it really was Alan Partridge. Norwich pedestrianisation. This is a thing about which no one except people in this postcode have a strong opinion. And you're doing quite a serious piece of local journalism.
You're watching national TV and they're talking about a left turn in Manchester. And also, one left turn. It's not like there's a series of box gates all over the city. There's one left turn you shouldn't take. Yeah. There was a wonderful moment when they're actually in the car going along and they're being driven by someone who has been stung by the no left turn. And he goes, look, there you go, this person in the Range Rover, there, that person, man, woman, it's a woman, she's going to go left now, what, she's going to go left, she's going to get stung, she's about to get stung, and you're like, oh my God, this is proper journalism.
Graphic designer Brian Cairns was hit with the £60 fine.
So I was driving up here on Whitworth Street, and you turn left here at the junction. No sign to say there's a bus gate at all.
And that's exactly where Brian and plenty of others get caught.
So that car there, he's going to get caught, or she is. I think, no, she realised that now she's signalled to turn right.
She's seen the sign, she's
It's another example of a bit you shouldn't leave in the film. Yeah. Take it out in the edit. Why are you leaving the bit in that's undermined the entire premise of your film?
Can I just say,
because the sign was clearly clear enough.
Great Big Owl.
What?
Great Big Owl.
Stop saying that. What about Great Big Owl?
It's a family of podcasts.
Ooh. Who's in this family?
Well, there's Rule of Three. That's us.
There's Brian and Roger.
Hi, Roger, it's Brian.
There's the One Show Show.
There's nowhere else you would find a 4 or 5 minute film about pine martins.
Yes.
Without a sight of one pine martin at all in the film.
There's Barry and Angelos.
Oh, Gooch, 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 Gooch. Yeah. Remember that lovely one?
And there's Smirsh Pod.
Could you eat first? I think we know.
Well, I know, I don't know if I'd want to eat Lazenby.
Basically, look for Great Big Owl on your pod, what's it?
Good idea. Have we got a sting?
Owls don't sting.
Great Big Owl.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I did a piece for Inside Out, right, which is the regional, the poor sibling to the One Show, and it was about cyclists in Birmingham, and we had to go and interview people to try and get some anger, find some people who were riled up about cyclists. Yeah. So the producer found a taxi rank. He was like, just go in there, all the taxi drivers, they're going to be fucking livid about cyclists. I swear to God, I interviewed 12 taxi drivers, every single one, to a man, all of the men went, actually, they're fine.
No, oh, yes.
They're much better these days. They stay in their lanes and they obey traffic lights is absolutely fine. The producer was like, no!
Not what we want,
and this is how journalism works. Yeah. Yeah. But they were the signs. Then, of course, because there wasn't enough to involve the people of Britain, they just showed what three signs that they said were confusing from around the country. One of which, let's look at the funny signs. Here's one, and it was a sign that said "sign not in use."
Sign not in use.
Interesting.
What is the point of that, right?
Yeah.
Which I swear is just a photoshopped.
No, it exists. John Gordillo, the brilliant stand-up comic, did about 45 minutes on the existential crisis of a sign, not a news sign.
Right. So they are
Edinburgh 2013, brilliant.
But they didn't explain the context there. Why is there a sign that says sign not in use?
Because it's a little digital sign, isn't it?
No, this one wasn't a digital sign. This was like a metal sign on the side of the road.
They've got a sign, right? That is the metal sign goes against the big digital display sign.
You see there.
And they put that against the floor at the bottom of the sign saying, this sign above me, just up here, that sign up there, that's not in use.
Right. They also did Secret Nuclear Bunker in Kelvedon Hatch as well.
And finally, don't tell anyone where the secret bunker is.
An absolute classic. It's in private ivory for 2 months.
Yeah.
And the secret nuclear bunker has a sign on it because it's a tourist attraction.
That's right.
The end.
The sign was not there when it was a secret nuclear bunker.
It used to be the cabinet's nuclear bunker.
That's right.
Do you want to know an interesting thing about that nuclear bunker? Mm. It was in use until about 1993. It was where the major cabinet would have gone. And when they closed it in 1993 and it got sold to a farmer, they closed that bit of the central line that went out that far. And that's why the central line no longer goes that far, because that's how they would have got the cabinet out there.
Oh, you're kidding me. The cabinet would have all had to get onto the central line.
And because it all went out into the wilds of Essex. And everyone went, why did the central line go this far? And the answer was to evacuate them to the bunker.
That's Isn't brilliant.
Cool? Yep. So there's also, on the same note, a platform beneath Broadcasting House, which was when they would take all the newsreaders and stuff in the event of war out to...
BBC Studio was going to be at
Kelvedon Hatch. That'd be the same thing then. So it's a branch of the central line.
Yeah.
And there's one under Buckingham Palace.
Wow. And all the newsreaders would get in there and they'd all just fuck.
Yeah.
To try and create
the world.
Also, a world repopulated
of newsreaders and
of
politicians.
Sophie Raworth and Hugh Edwards.
That's why they have to be beautiful. It's like Moonraker.
Fascinating. I also like the sign that the funny sign. The funny. This is funny. Ooh, now this one's funny sign.
Here we go.
Hang on.
Let me just undo a button.
It's very funny. It says ham sandwich.
Here we go. Ham sandwich.
Always nice.
Because, and this is near my house, so I know this sign, right? So there is a sign to the village of Ham, half a mile. And on the same sign, it says sandwich, because sandwich is on the sink ports, which is 3 miles, ham sandwich. You know, again, perfect. It's just fine.
That's the Britain we're fighting for.
But, you know, out of all the funny signs in the world.
That's lovely, Alex. Do you like that, Alex?
I don't think that's real. I think that's made up, that is.
It was just...
She did. She phoned this in, didn't she? She didn't give a shit this week, because she is off on mat leave.
She's on mat leave. Matt Baker leave.
She's on
She is out. She's brought games in this week, hasn't she?
It was her last show, wasn't it? Last show till August, she said.
It's going to be odd, though. No, seriously, it's going to be weird with you watching
but
as a little viewer.
But quick, I'll be back in the autumn.
Yeah, I know. Well, it goes without saying, I'm going to miss you.
I miss you.
Got a bit teary, didn't she? She started to well up at the end of Thursday show.
I mean, we are jumping all over the place here. But
that was Wednesday. This is Thursday.
So Thursday show, I love that Emma Thompson had come on and talked powerfully and movingly about the world ending to silence.
It behooves us, as the generation above them, to stand next to them and go, we've got to listen. We've got to listen. And I think they're absolutely extraordinary.
And as soon as they said she's not going to be on, Alex Jones is off. She's not going to be on that for a while. Oh no! The audience start responding
because the One Show is a sealed unit where the world can't touch it. It is like it's like the bunker. It literally is broadcasting. The world could end outside that glass. There could be zombies. And the One Show would just carry on talking about the weather, because the point is you mustn't talk about
it's televisual cockroach. It would just survive anything.
It's really odd because she came on and talked about the climate protest.
Well, this was a rare moment of the One Show doing politics.
It was very good. I thought it was very good. Yeah, it was quite interesting.
They brought her on and she was she'd done it that week, and it was also I like the idea that she'd flown over for the One Show. So all the controversy about it, did she fly over for the climate protest? Is she a hypocrite? No, she flew over for the One Show. It's fine.
Yeah,
I don't mind. You'd fly over for the One Show. That's really important. But she'd come out and she was talking about it, and they couldn't change the subject. And you realise that despite the fact that the One Show is sort of quite campaigning, but about stuff that's quite small. It's ambiently about things like, I don't know, school crossings.
Canals full of sewage.
Small local issues. And this was...
apolitical things as well.
Yeah,
that's the thing.
You can't argue that children should have dinner. Mm. Things like that. They do this. And this was really weird. And you went, hang on. It was really interesting to watch a hugely politically contentious issue cross over into, actually, and Alex Jones said, well, no one wants the planet to fry. Yeah. And you went, that's the most political thing you've ever said. Apparently, we all would like to survive.
Yeah, and I don't, you know, we were talking earlier. I don't think anybody disagrees with it because nobody wants
emissions. Everybody wants. That's nobody wants the world to end, for goodness sake.
Everybody wants a better planet.
Apart from the hard right, they do want the planet.
The strangeness of this, though, was they didn't mention, they obviously had a footage of her at the environment in London, standing on the pink boat.
On a little boat.
But they didn't mention the controversy of the flight, because she could have nailed that flight thing, because that was the main criticism, wasn't it? She's flying home from Los Angeles on a big old plane to talk about climate. Well, don't get on the plane then. You know,
I find that thing so annoying when people say that. It's just such a fatuous argument. Well, when you went on a plane, well, you're the problem.
What's really good, though, if you point that out, though, all the ice caps refreeze. Mm.
That's right. The thing is, if we wait long enough, the seas will dry up, and then she could cycle across. Or walk. Exactly right. So why don't we do... But she's talking about that, but they didn't mention... She could have addressed... They didn't mention that, because that would have been...
That's contentious. This is a contention-free zone. But
she had a lot of time. She had about 14 minutes in all talking about this sort of stuff.
That's amazing.
And then the reason she was on the One Show was to talk about a film she did after the last time she was on the One Show, which is another activist thing. She was just happened to be a guest on the One Show like a year ago, saw a film that Matt Allwright had done about
food poverty
with children. So she said, off the back of that, you know, is there anything I can do to help? And true to her word, she went and shot a new film for the One Show about food poverty.
After slaving over some hot courgettes, it's time to tuck into the veggie curry.
Thank you. I'm so impressed with the kids cooking it with their fair hands and then eating it.
Emma, tell me, what did you take away from today?
All I'm experiencing is a group of very, very happy young people. And that is what everyone deserves.
I mean, you might be thinking, oh, Emma Thompson gets involved in all of these issues. This is great. I'm thinking, bit of a busybody. She was very good on This Generation, wasn't she?
Yeah.
Because she talked about the fact when she was coming up through Footlights and getting into TV, you know, she said, we used to call it that men would make passes at you then, but it's kind of the Me Too thing. Mm. And the generations are seizing these things, climate, that. She's very passionate about
it. And we're actually earnestly saying something was good on the One Show. Is this a first?
She was a good guest. She'd got engaged. I think one of the things that I found disappointing about this week's is that Jason Isaacs was really engaged with it.
Yeah.
And that Emma Thompson had made a film for the One Show, and it was about a thing that's worth making thing about child food poverty, and she was good, and I'm really quite enjoying this.
Yeah.
It wasn't bad, but it did show up the fact that the rest of the One Show is pabulum. It's uncontentious stuff. It's meant to be on the background. It felt a bit weird that someone had foregrounded an issue. Anyway, this isn't the One Show.
The biggest issue for me from the whole week is what the fuck was Max Beasley's dad doing on the sofa with him?
Max and Maxton Beasley. Yeah! Hey!
Max and Maxton. Oh, looking very smart, the pair of you as well.
Well, if I'd have known that I was going to be on the show, I would have dressed up.
Maxton.
I will never, as long as I live, understand why Max Beasley's dad was there, why he had a one-show cue card in his hand. What's that with his fucking son's name written on it? Yeah. I don't understand what that's
for. Also, he was crazy and nuts, and he couldn't get any of his lines out.
And he was gone.
And then it suddenly disappeared. And it was either that he had been wrangled to the ground by one-show security, or that he'd escaped.
Yeah.
And somewhere in the city.
He said halfway through, this is not, I thought it was Top Gear. Sorry, guys, wrong show. And he napped off. I don't know what it was, but something, he should have been still on that sofa.
Yeah, because they said wherever he's gone at the end. Yeah, yeah. Thanks to Max's dad, wherever he's gone.
Well, listen, that is all we've got time for. A very big thanks to Max and Max's dad as well. Wherever you are, Maxton, thank you so much for joining us. You can see Max.
Understanding from the word go, because he was in like an oversized jacket with a pocket handkerchief that was spilling out too much.
Yeah.
And then there was a whole thing about him looking like Max Beasley, his son, which he didn't.
No, exactly. And it gave the chance for Alex to ask literally the most boring question I've ever heard on the One Show. Please send in or get in touch with us if you look like another member of your family.
And we'd also like to hear from you if two generations of your family look alike.
And you went, that's genetics. I mean, that literally, do you not understand how humans exist?
It's absolutely incredible.
You're about to have a baby.
Look at these twins.
Surely you understand the process by which this is, oh God. It was a bit, I once heard Steve Wright asking people to phone in and say, has it been getting dark lately? And I went, that's just the sun.
Yeah, it's the sun.
I love the awesome, almost the caveman wonder that presenters can have about simple things. It's families look like each other.
But then he said,
the
lookalike.
Was he there because they were going into the... I mean, are we okay to jump around, by the way?
Oh, this is how... Yeah. Well, they fucking do it.
Right, good. Yeah, well, quite, yeah. It's hard to follow that show, so it's equally hard to follow this podcast. We're paying tribute to the structure of the One Show. No, the bit where they went after the Beasley was there with his dad, right, which was absolutely mental. And then they got a guy on who is a professional artist.
Forensic artist
who draws pictures of kids who've gone missing.
Yeah,
right?
What they might look like
when they're older. When they get to a film about that, which we'll come back to in a sec, then it comes back after the film, Max Beasley's dad's fucked up, which makes me think that the Beasley's dad was only on there to tee up the idea of family likeness
family
and that
resemblance.
Whole thing.
Or Max Beasley's dad has abducted a child. And
abducted child. The forensic artist said, you're just like the guy I drew.
Were you Madeleine McCann?
Big changes.
I mean, you don't look like my aging picture, but I can now you mention it.
Sometimes I get things wrong. Oh, yeah.
You imagine if you messed around with that bit. So this guy comes on. What's his name?
Tim.
So Tim comes on. And his job, what's it called? It's he does age progression imagery.
That's
which is
right.
Where they take a picture of someone and they add 20
if they
years
went missing at 14 and you're still looking 20 years later, what do they look like at 30?
We should have done that for his podcast. We should have done that on Monday morning before I watched 9.5 hours of The One Show to see how much I have aged over the week. And so he comes on to talk about that. And then they start talking, and I was like, oh, careful territory here. They start talking about kids that have gone missing, and I'm like, okay. And then they say, you know, Tim, what was your most famous piece? Well, it's this kid who went missing, and it was a really tragic story, which there's a kid who went missing, and here's a picture of him, and I've aged him, and here's a picture of him older. And I was like, okay, this is the One Show. So here comes the resolution question, where Matt Baker's going to go, and this photo was on a milk carton, and you found him, right? That's how it worked.
Yeah.
And they said, did you find the kid? And Tim went, No, we don't find him, no. And Matt Baker just looked to camera in the most Partridge Robert.
And actually on that point, if you do have any information on Andrew, then the organisation Missing People, of course, would love to hear from you.
Yeah, it's a very specific...
It was excruciating.
It was amazing.
I was watching that on my phone on the tube, and I scrunched my entire body up and put most of my hand in my mouth. But seriously, though, if you have seen him,
again, it was the juxtaposition of that with they showed then that it went from Max Beasley's aged face that he'd done specifically for the One Show to the missing child again to Max Beasley saying, "Well, I'd look like I've been hit with a mallet."
I already look like I've been bashed with a baseball bat here.
No, that looks good. Can you give us some examples then, Tim, of cases that you've worked on recently?
Yes, I worked on age progression for this person here, Andrew Gosden.
And then it was the missing kid Andrew again. It was all over the shop.
Existential crises. There is no greater existential crisis than A, the planet ending, which the One Show has dealt with this week, and B, your kid's an open-ended child disappearing story.
Yeah.
But
they cut away from that to the forensic guy had a high-profile news story where he had aged the missing A kid who can identify the reincarnation of the Dalai Lama.
This is, yes, this is...
it's called the Pancha Lama.
Pancha Lama, that's right.
In May 1995, a six-year-old boy called Gedun Choki Nima from Tibet was recognised by the Dalai Lama as the 11th Panchen Lama. For Tibetan Buddhists, the Panchen Lama is one of the most important figures after the Dalai Lama, playing a key role in recognizing the next reincarnation of the Dalai Lama. However, within a few days of being chosen by the Dalai Lama, Gedun Choki Nima mysteriously disappeared. And soon afterwards, so did his parents. None of them have been seen since.
China has disappeared this kid is the, was the thing that wasn't quite said in the story.
Yeah.
Some horrible political situation
and not
happened.
His family went missing.
Yeah. So basically, this person...
This next segment is sponsored by Huawei.
It was just nuts. And it was this big thing where you went, OK, this is it's politically dangerous and you need some context to this. But I just threw into it and went, it's another missing kid story. And you went, no, it's a missing kid story from a huge Hollywood epic. It was really big. Yeah. And it was building up to him showing members of the Tibetan community in London an artificially aged picture of this missing child who's important to the Tibetan community. And their reaction to it was one of the most insane things I've ever said, because they were really disappointed that a fictional child's face that doesn't exist didn't match an imagined face in their heads. Yeah. And he went, some of them were disappointed, and he went, but no one knows. It's not so like he's done a caricature of you in Leicester Square and it didn't look like you.
It was such a strange thing, wasn't it? Because it was so many worlds were colliding in this sequence.
Really fast.
Yeah, really too hard to keep up. And then, you know, they're laughing at Max Beasley's aged face.
Yes.
And then Tim says, well, it's actually quite important work.
Yes.
And you've just trivialised it to nothing.
I know.
So he's got... So Alex then sort of tried to regroup and talk about the Tibetan... kid, they got Dalai Lama film and the and it was just a mess.
It was it was the most emotionally and structurally it was a disaster from beginning to end.
And it was like, okay,
it undermined everything. It undermined the humour of Tim aging people, because you think, well, fuck me, he's doing that because kids go missing, and then it undermines the severity of the actual picture of the actual kid who gone missing, because you think, well, it's funny, isn't it, people getting older. So the whole thing fell apart.
It was
front of my face.
I did also like them reading out quite blandly the Chinese government's explanation of why this, obviously a child for whom a whole community is looking, because it's really important.
Yeah.
And they said, the Chinese government say,
he is safe and living a normal life.
He is safe and living a normal life. And you go, yes, because that's when people disappear, that's usually what happens, isn't it? They're usually safe and living a normal... That's why you need to get reconstructive artists in when someone's safe and living a normal life. Just show me a picture of the kid. How you prove a child is safe and living a normal life is he holds up today's paper and you take a picture of it. We know how this... What is you meet the child?
Yeah. Don't forget, the Chinese government can write next week's paper. Well, that in control of things.
It was mad. And it was one of those great examples of the one show trying to, within its small remit, fit a very large story.
Yeah.
And I love it when it doesn't fit. It spills over
the edges. Jumping in with the audience, the studio audience, laughing at Max Beasley's baseball-batted nose face.
It reminds me
in
of the
picture.
Scene in Jurassic Park where you see the ripples forming on the glass of water because there's trouble coming. And it's like the one show, they're all sitting there and they've got a massive bucket of water in the middle and you just see the ripples appearing. These echoes of awful things going on outside the world. And they're just all going, oh, okay. Let's have a look now at some pictures of melted eggs.
This did, we'll come to that.
Yes, we really have. That's the best bit of the week.
This is where I learned something, though, during the Tim forensic artist sequence, because I didn't know this. We learned that men's noses can grow 30% in volume during middle age.
Also, men's particularly, their noses can grow by about 30% in volume during middle age.
Is that right?
That's a good fact, that, actually.
Yeah, that was my favourite fact. I wrote that down and went, ooh.
And so that brings us to the close of part one of this week's The One Show Show. Part two will be with you tomorrow, ready and waiting when you wake up. It's the modern equivalent of when you go downstairs in the morning to find the milkman has been. Be sure to listen to part two as soon as you can. If you leave podcasts outside too long, birds come and peck the tops off. See you tomorrow.
You heard of Great Big Owl?
Yes, they make this podcast.
Yeah, but not just this podcast.
You're shitting me. Name some others.
Well, there's Trolled.
We had Luciana Berger and Gary Lineker coming on.
Oh, yeah, and there's Crime Club.
Did you get done for that?
Yeah.
There's The Fear.
It's a kid's show, but it really, really scared me.
There's Always There.
Thanks very much, because I would never have gone down Howard's way had you not asked me.
There's Friends with Friends.
Shoving a funnel in Joey's mouth and Rachel pours fat down.
And there's Ask the Nincompoops.
Kids ask us the questions they want answered.
That's for kids. We shouldn't have sworn earlier.
Bollocks.
Quick, play the sting.